Welcome to Eat, Capture, Share, the podcast for food bloggers, food lovers, and everyone in between. My name is Kimberly. I'm your host. Episode 46. Welcome back, everybody, to the Eat, Capture, Share podcast. My name is Kimberly Espinel. I'm the food photographer and food blogger behind The Little Plantation and the podcaster here at Eat, Capture, Share. As always, I am super honored you're tuning in. If you're returning, welcome back. And if this is your first time listening, so, so glad you're here. The focus of every podcast episode is always a little bit different. There are some episodes which are really about delving deep into practical steps and tips and tricks. There are other episodes which are really there as food for thought, and yet others, like today's, which are all about gathering or replenishing your well of inspiration. Today, I'm talking to the incredibly talented Viola Virtamo. She is a Helsinki-based food photographer, creator, videographer, cookbook author, visual artist. I mean, she has so many hats and so many plates that she spins. It's incredible. Now, before I tell you more about Viola, I wanted to let you know that I've prepared a little PDF for you to go with this episode. It includes my 6 most used Instagram tools to really level up my Instagram. These are tools I use every time I step on the platform, and I can totally wholeheartedly recommend. So if you head to the show notes, sign up to the mailing list, you will have that PDF sent straight to you, straight into your inbox. If you're already on the mailing list, don't worry, I'll either send it out to you next week, or better, it will be waiting for you inside our creative community, so you don't have to sign up to the mailing list again to receive it. Right, shall we chat about Viola? Viola is really one of those just insanely, incredibly talented creatives who I've had the honor of meeting in person. She just, you know, randomly popped over for lunch when she was in London in 2019. And in fact, I loved her energy so, so much, because not only is she one of the most talented food photographers I know, and in fact, if you don't know who she is, please stop listening to this episode right now. Head to Instagram, look for Viola Minerva, and then jaw drop, basically. But the other thing I love about Viola is that she's incredibly helpful, super humble, really, really kind, and just has such a positive energy about her. You just want to be near her. Like, that's how I feel. And we actually really got along well and had decided to run a workshop together in June of this year. And of course, COVID happened, so we've had to postpone it indefinitely. But when you listen in today, you will see why I was so eager to collaborate with her and have you join us. Now, of course, that collaboration hasn't happened, but please, 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 if you want to be notified when we do reschedule once the COVID situation is over, don't hesitate to get in touch at kimberly@thelittleplantation.co.uk. Right, so in terms of today, what can you expect from the episode? We talk about food photography, we talk about creativity, we talk about Viola's creative process, how she found her style, her voice, her distinct look. She chats about how she thinks about a project, a book or client project, and how she then pulls that through into the final beautiful thing that you get to buy and see or experience on Instagram, bookshelves, and what have you. And also where she got the courage from to live her creative calling. It's a super inspiring episode, which I hope you enjoy. And now I'm going to stop rambling and introduce you to Viola. Viola, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the Eat, Capture, Share podcast. You know, I admire you and your work and all that you do so, so much. So it is super duper lovely to have you on the podcast. Now, I think everybody listening in will know who you are, but just in case, if you can introduce yourself and tell us what you do, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. So I'm Viola and I'm a photographer, graphic designer and director and video producer based in Finland. And I'm specialized in lifestyle, brand films, books and all kind of visual things. And I also make recipes for brands and host workshops for photography and Instagram. And I've written four cookbooks. Amazing. I think that's it.
Yeah, just a few things you do.
Things.
I really wanted to start off with asking you how you're managing life in quarantine, because as we're recording this episode, we're still in lockdown. At least we are here in London. So I don't know what things are like in Finland. Please fill us in.
Well, first, it was kind of a shock. Like in Finland, we've never had full lockdown or quarantine situation. And even now, people have been free to spend time outdoors. But the whole province around Helsinki was closed completely. And because we have the most contagions. And I know it's a small thing compared to what people have experienced around the world. But for me, the first moment when I realized how serious this is was when I got to know that I can't go to my cottage anymore. It's a small thing, but that's when I actually realized how big this is. And it felt like a scary thing because that kind of lockdown has never happened in Finland. We couldn't actually go anywhere. We were the risk area. And so it was a shock when it started. And well, I've spent most of my lockdown mostly at home, but also at my parents' who live just 5 minutes away from my apartment. And after the Helsinki area was unlocked, I've also spent a lot of time here at the cottage. I'm here now too. But I don't do my groceries here to protect people in the countryside because it's recommended that people traveling from the city to their cottages won't visit any local stores and stuff like that. But yeah, after the first shock, it has been quite close to my normal life actually because I don't have children and I almost always work from home. And me and my family have been lucky to stay healthy. So
amazing.
It's been... Yeah.
it's so interesting how we're all experiencing this differently, but you know, for some of us, like for example for you, where you're used to being on your own and, you know, working from home, so it's not such a big adjustment, like say if you work in an office with 25-30 you know, 500 other people. I would love to know what you've been cooking and baking and making in lockdown. Has it been exactly the same or have you noticed some changes?
I've noticed some change and I think I've been experimenting a lot more than before. Mm-hmm. And I think I found new kind of passion for cooking again. And first I started to focus on how to cook with the ingredients I already have in the kitchen, how to use leftovers more and stuff like that. I've always felt like it's important not to throw anything away. But now when it wasn't possible to visit grocery store every single day, I needed to plan more and use everything I had already in the kitchen. And it was actually quite fun to plan all the meals. And at first I cooked a lot of comforting food like pastas, bread, Thai food, creamy soups. I think we all needed that kind of food then. And also, I've baked more and tried many cake recipes. And in Finland, we have been really lucky to not have any bad shortage of flour. So I could still keep baking. And it has been really therapeutic for me. Yeah, I also made my first sourdough starter, like I think a lot of people did.
Yes.
During this. Well, we have started doing sourdough bread. So it has been quite fun experimenting with new things.
Amazing. I think, you know, for those of us who've been lucky enough to stay healthy and have a roof overhead, I think this quiet time, as you say, has been a time for exploration and, you know, projects like Sourdough Starters and all the things that require that little bit more time.
Yeah.
We've had that, right? We've had it.
Yeah.
And I've seen your beautiful bakes on Instagram. So definitely time. I would love to actually take the listeners back to the beginning of your journey into food and photography. How did you get started?
I started quite young. I started as a photographer when I was 16, and my mom is a photographer, so that's where I got the idea. Though my mom said to me that I shouldn't become a photographer because it's a difficult career and you will get paid a lot. Well, here I am. And with food, I had always loved cooking and baking, and I think my most important memories from my childhood are all about food. Mm-hmm. And since I was about 12 years old, I wanted to cook all our family dinners every single day because I loved cooking and experimenting with food so much. So when I was trying different things in photography, soon I realized that, hey, it's possible to combine two of my passions. And that's how it started. First, there was always someone else who cooked and styled the food, and I photographed it. But then I realized that, hey, I can actually do that part myself too. So that's how it started.
Amazing. And now you have made it your career. How and when did you know that that is where you wanted to take things? Because there's a lot of people who love photography but never take that step and move beyond the hobby. So when did you know that that's what you wanted, and how did you make it? How did you make it come true?
I had always two choices in my life. I studied music quite a long in my life, and actually my family wished me to make that my career. But then at some point I noticed that photographing is the thing I love. So I knew that, okay, if I love that, if I want to do that every single day, every single hour of the day, that's what I need to do for a living. And then at some point, photography was the thing I started with. And then I realized that it's not just the photography I love. I love all kind of visual and beautiful things. And that's why at some point graphic design came into my life, and at some point videos came into my life, and it just happened. I never planned it, but
yeah. And you know, your photography is insanely beautiful. It is so it's so beautiful. It's almost poetic. And you know, when I look at your images, I feel I'm entering a magical world. That's what it feels like for me. But I'm sure it's taken a long time and lots of practice and all those things to get to that point. And I know there'll be people listening in who would love to know how you achieved the level that you're at. And so I was wondering if you can share some tips, some tricks, some inspirational points for people who'd love to improve their photography.
Well, I think it was a really important thing for me, what I learned first when I started. Like, all we know, light is always the key to a good photograph. And no matter what you're photographing, is it food or people or nature, I think always you should focus on the light first. And that doesn't cost anything. You don't need any expensive equipment to do that. And you only need to experiment with natural light, maybe next to a window or maybe outdoors. And I always recommend to start with the soft, moody light because that's easier to handle and it works with almost anything. Mm-hmm. And then you can, of course, start playing with the direct, really strong sunlight, but that's not where I would start because it's a lot more difficult to handle. And when you're photographing indoors, always, always turn off the light so you won't get any weird and yellow lights here and shadows. But again, I think light is the thing you need to understand what happens during today, how the light changes. And there are a lot of different ways to use, handle, and experiment with light. So I think that's where I would start.
I think that's a great place to start. Yeah, absolutely.
And my second tip would be to, if you have the camera already, invest in a tripod. because when you work alone, like I've always done, or live in the darkest possible country like me, where the winter days are mostly dark, having a tripod helps a lot. So first, it helps you to shoot in less light with long shutter speeds, so you don't have to raise the ISO too high and the pictures won't turn too grainy. And it also allows you to make shots with your hands in there or make a movement like pouring a sauce or playing with flowers. And it also helps with flat lays and making the shot and styling perfect without the camera moving all the time. And that was really important thing for me to learn, because I always love to photograph with the camera in my hand. I always felt like tripod, it just makes my life difficult.
Yes, I hear you.
Yeah, but when I realized how much it helps that the camera doesn't move anywhere and I can do all the work there and make the shot perfect, so then I realized what I've done during these years. Like, how could I hate tripod? Now it's my best friend.
Yes.
So I always have my tripod with me, and it doesn't have to be an expensive tripod, but just there to hold your camera and you can do the work.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I often use my son as my hand model just because I think his hands are the most beautiful hands in the world. But definitely, and especially I would say for people who are tuning in and also people who are thinking about shooting a cookbook and things like that, you know, it's so important, right, to have the tripod and to reshoot. And also for those, you know, people who want to dabble in Photoshop, if you want to overlay images, to have the tripod be exactly in the same spot for all the different images that you shoot is worth gold. These are such amazing tips. Thank you so much.
I actually have my third tip also.
Oh, please go for it.
This is not a really common tip, and this is not a rule for good food photography, but I always recommend people to avoid bright, glossy, and white plates if they are just starting their food photography career or hobby, because I think white is very strong and it gets burnt by the light easily, and it's pretty ruthless, and you can see every single mistake in the plating, and the messy, cozy, and rustic styling, which I love, might not work there. So try softer surfaces and textures. Use backdrops like linen tablecloth or wood planks. And I've also used a linen bedsheet because that looks exactly the same, so there's no difference. Use kind of ceramics and soft colored plates which aren't too shiny. So try to highlight the food and make the food be the most important thing in your shot. Don't let too boldly colored or bright white and shiny props take too much attention from the food. So I think that's a thing I see a lot of people do when they're just starting food photography, and they're, of course, we all have white plates at home, so that's where we start, but it's actually a really difficult thing to photograph with a white plate. So I think that's something to think about.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I know when I scroll through Instagram and I'm not looking at the names attached to the photos, I know when I get to your photo that it's your photo, because you have such, you know, you have such a distinct look in how you compose and how you use color and light. And somebody in the creative community wanted to know how you found your style, but also how your style has evolved.
I think I realized quite early that I really liked dark and moody style, and I think I've just during the past year or two I've learned also to make lighter shots. I think, like, we all know that Linda Lamelina was one of the first to actually do really dark and moody and storytelling pictures, and I think she was one of the first idols I had. Mm-hmm. And I just started to do that because in Finland during that time no one did that, and I didn't like the classic and very boring kind of food shots. I was interested in telling a story and making it look like a shot from a movie, So I really, really wanted to learn that style. And first, I think in my food photography, you can also see that in my Instagram when you're scrolling far back, that I didn't use colors a lot. I did just the really moody and dark style. And it was really difficult because I couldn't use very bright colors in food because the style was really, really narrow. And that's what I've learned during the past years, to actually still keep my cohesive style and dark and moody shots, but still add a lot of colors and make the food look even better. So that's what I think I've learned during the past 1 or 2 years. So, and I think I still have a lot more to learn, but I've come far from the shots I made 5 years ago. It's hard to even look at them now.
You know, it's so nice to hear. And I think actually that's part of a great creative, is somebody who's not saying, I've arrived, I know what I'm doing, yeah, this is it, but who's constantly thinking, okay, what can I do to make it better? Or, you know, not getting stuck in something, yeah, going, okay, so this works for me, but now I'd actually like to inject some color. Let me challenge myself that way. And I think that's really part of what makes a great creative, you know, like always, yeah, thinking and exploring to see what you can do to make things better. Do you have a favorite color that you like to work with, or favorite colors that you like to work with? And how do you build those in? Do you plan the recipe thinking about the color, or is it through your editing, or how do you weave those pops of color into your feed and into your photography?
Well, I think anyone visiting my Instagram feed can see that I love green. And I think that's also because of nature. I like to use a lot of green leaves and flowers in my shots. So that's, green is always a big part of my photography. But lately I've also fell in love with really bright orange and pink, because I think that's a really nice contrast to the green color, and it pops up nicely from the shots. And yeah, I really like orange right now.
Exciting. I do feel that orange is having a moment. I really feel orange is having a moment because, like, say, yeah, 2 years ago, if I asked people the colors that they least like to work with, they would have said yellow, orange, and red.
I feel
it's having a little moment. So you're bang on trend, basically. But Viola, what I would love to know is, you run a creative business, you have your graphic design and book and photography and things like that. And there's so many people who dream of having a career in the field of photography, or who dream of having a creative business, but feel very scared of taking the plunge. Where do you get the courage to go for it? Or did you never even consider not doing it? Like, was it all, like, did you always know that you're gonna go for it come hell or high water? Like, how did that all come about? Sorry to be interrupting your podcast experience, but I have a huge favor to ask of you. I'm keen and committed to keep the podcast going. I would love to keep it free of external ads, and of course to continue to provide this content for free. In order to do so, I need your support. If you can rate or review the podcast, that would be amazing. If you can subscribe to the podcast, that would be awesome. And if you can share the podcast with somebody you know will love the content, be it through word of mouth or on your Instagram or Instagram stories, I will be forever grateful. All right, now back to the podcast.
I think I always knew that I had to do something visual, and I think I never had a doubt about not doing photography, but graphic design and video, they just came into my life slowly, and I started to do them by myself, little projects for myself, and then I just added them to my portfolio, or when a client came to me, I said that I'm also doing this and this, and it just slowly started to grow. And of course my mom, who's is a photographer, helped me in my photographic career a lot in the beginning. But the graphic design and video production, I've started from nothing. But still, it's just, I think, having your style and believing in yourself and just following the dream you have, what kind of projects and visual you want to do. So I think there are always clients who want that, what you do. Mm-hmm. It just takes time and patience to find them.
And where do you think that, I'll use the word confidence, like where do you think your confidence and your self-belief comes from, and how do you keep developing and nurturing that even when you get a rejection or even when there's a client who says no? Or, you know, how do you avoid any of that stuff stopping you from going for it?
I've actually been quite an insecure person always in my life, but I think I learned to be confident as a photographer pretty early. And of course, I have the moments when I'm thinking like, I'm the worst, no one wants me. We all have those moments. But then I just try to remember that there have been a lot of clients wants to work with me. There are some clients who haven't understand my style, and that's okay, because no one can like everything. And especially if you have your own style, it's really common that there are people who don't like your style. And that's, I think that's important to learn, that if you have a strong style, that means that there are going to be clients, there are going to be people who won't like it. And I think that's even better than just having something so basic that everyone likes it. So I think it's important to remember that it's never personal. We all have our own styles and tastes about photography and videos and music and food and everything. So I think it's important to remember that it's not personal.
Now, when you do have a day where you're got a setback, or you look at those images and they're all turned out horrible or whatever it is, right? How do you overcome challenges or creative blocks in your photography?
I think that's one of the reasons why I don't do just photography. I think it's really important for me to have also the graphic design and video production there, because when I have the creative block in some of those areas, then I just go to do something else. I don't try to force myself, because that never works. That just usually makes the situation worse. Sometimes there are some things you just have to do. You have a deadline and you have to do them, and then I of course do it. But if I can, I go to do something else. I don't touch that project on that day anymore. I do something else. And that's when why I love to have many things, many different kind of things, like layout of book. If I'm really stuck with that, I go to photograph something. Or if I'm really stuck with photography, I go to do my video editing. So that really helps me to kind of push the negative things aside and wait until the blocks kind of go away. And next day, I feel much better already. So if I just have the time, I try to step aside for a moment and try to think something else.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's sometimes, yeah, just how your frame of mind and how you're feeling, and you know, and you almost bring that into the project. So if you're kind of frustrated, then it never works, right?
Yeah, so, it just goes worst every single time.
Exactly. How do you stay inspired? And where, I mean, you mentioned nature, but are there any other places, books, magazines, music, I don't know, somewhere that you draw inspiration from so that you don't feel and stay stuck and keep evolving?
I've always been really bad at naming some persons or magazines or some specific books which have inspired me, but still I find many movies really inspiring. Of course, the nature. I spend a lot of time there, both at the cottage and in the city. And then just many small things in normal life, like interior design, Pinterest. We all go there to find some inspiration. Instagram, like seeing all the beautiful pictures made by others, inspire me a lot. And a lot of things, magazines, movies, books, many things inspire me a lot.
You know, it's so funny because as we're talking, and I don't know, you said something a little earlier on and it made me think, you know, that your photos have this film noir feel to them sometimes. You know, I don't know how you do that, but I can see that a little bit in there, like a little bit of drama. There's quite, you know, it's a lot of drama there, which is so, so beautiful. I would love to know how you think about curating your Instagram, if you plan it, if it just happens. Like, how do you think about the feel and mood of your whole grid and the images sitting next to each other?
I think about it a lot, sometimes too much.
Listen, guilty as charged. Yeah. Here too, so I hear you.
And yeah, I think that even though it's really important, of course, to focus on the quality and beauty of every picture I post, for me, it has always been important to also focus on the look of my whole feed and grid. And because that's what people see first when they are coming to my profile. So I wanted to have a really cohesive look, but not too boring. I don't want every single picture to have the same styling. I did that at some point and it just looks a bit boring. I don't want every single picture to have the same color and mood, but they should still work or look good together. And I use quite a lot of time to plan and play with different picture combinations for my feed and find the best looking order. And of course, sometimes you might have some kind of post with client that you just have to post it on a specific date, but otherwise, I play a lot with the different kind of picture feed and combinations I could do and just try to find the best looking order.
Do you have any tips to share in terms of how people can think about curating their Instagram feed? Are there any tools that you use? Any things that you could pass on to them?
I use an app called, I think it was Planoly, to plan my feed. I don't post with the app. I don't do anything else there, but I just arrange the pictures there. And also it's a good app for making kind of clouds for your hashtags, so you don't always have to write them for your every single picture one by one. That helps a lot, saves a lot of time. And when it comes to creativity, I think finding your own style, no matter what it is, like bright and bold colors, moody and dark, light and airy, or no colors at all, whatever your style is, keep it, because that makes your feed look professional. But still, don't ever think you're ready with your style. Like we talked, there's always room for evolving and trying new things. So if you use moody light, don't be afraid to try really harsh and strong sunlight too. And if you always use just green tones, like I used to do, start experimenting with colors too. So it's kind of a combination of finding your own style and still evolving all the time.
Yay, thank you. That's super, super helpful. Now, there was another question inside the creative community, which I thought was a brilliant question, so I definitely wanted to ask it. And somebody wanted to know what your creative process is. So how you, like, say if a client comes to you and says, we'd love for you to shoot a book, or it doesn't even have to be such a big project. It could be even a blog post. Like, how do you think through that process? How do you plan? How does it work?
Usually I always say, especially if it's a bigger project, not just the small, like one picture or something, if it's a bigger project like book or stuff like that, I need time and a lot of time to think about it before even doing anything. And I think we always need a bit of boredom to get the creativity going. And I think when we are really stressed and busy, it's impossible to be creative and do something new. We just use the skills we already have and do the things we've done before, and we know how they work. But I think I always want time and that boredom to get my mind going and creating new ideas. And that's why I love to come to the cottage or go for a run. Running is the best place for me to come up with new ideas. Like, the best ideas I've had when I've been running in the nature. And that's what I usually do, especially with big projects. When it depends a lot on what I'm doing, but then I start to find some inspiration from books, Pinterest, Instagram. I never want to copy anyone's work, but I think it's always important to see what other people are doing to kind of know what you could do yourself, different kind of techniques and stuff like that. And then I start to find the inspiration, and sometimes the inspiration comes really quickly. And I once made a book layout in 2 days because I just knew instantly what I want to do. It was in my head, it just happened, and it was really quickly. And sometimes it takes 3 or 4 weeks to get the great idea. And I think it's good that sometimes the first idea is the best. Sometimes you just can't be stuck with the first idea because sometimes it's not the best. So I think it's good if you just have the time to actually think about the projects a bit more, and you don't have to rush with it. So I think that's how you get the best possible result.
Yeah. You know, I'm just almost finishing off teaching my spring food photography online course, and we spend a whole lesson on planning and mood boarding because I think it's such a great way to get the creative juices flowing, but also actually develop some sort of structure around what's in your mind, what's in your heart, and giving them a little bit more direction. You know, and I always feel that the more you plan, the more creative you can get.
Yeah.
And the more time you spend on the planning and the thinking through and the boredom and the coming back and doing and redoing, the smoother the shoots tend to go, I find. And it sounds like that's been your experience too.
Yeah, yeah, that definitely happens. And I think it always takes the longest time and brings a lot of frustration with it when I don't have the time for planning, or I just haven't done it for some reasons. So then I might find myself in a photo shoot where I actually don't know what I'm even looking for. And it's hard to make the picture the best if I don't even have the best kind of result in my mind. So how could I do it? Yeah. So yeah, I always plan everything. I'm a planner person, so.
Yeah, and you know, and I think Pinterest, to go back to the point you made, Pinterest is such a great way to get inspiration, but also use elements for the planning process, I find.
Yeah.
I use it a lot too.
It's important to remember, if you're doing a food photography photo shoot, you don't have to just find food pictures from Pinterest. Like, I usually do when I try to find a lot of inspiration for projects, I just search all kind of pictures that have the mood and the style I want. I might find some kind of portraits that have the style I want for my food shot. So don't get stuck with the idea of that you have to find a good pasta shot if you're making a pasta shot.
Totally.
So yeah, anything goes. That just inspires you somehow.
Love it. Viola, I know that you and some other incredible creatives on Instagram have started a new, what's not new, you guys have been going for a little while now, but like a hashtag project.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. It's called On Our Creative Table, and we don't call it a challenge. It's more of a collaboration, and we just wanted to do it. We started it during the worst quarantine situation and wanted to make it to inspire, well, first ourselves, but also other people with beautiful seasonal ingredients and beautiful food. And yeah, we just wanted to invite people to post with different kind of teams. Like we have breakfast, now we have greens, and we're going to announce the next team soon for June. And yeah, it's just a little project we've had, and it's really inspiring. I love the Instagram community, and yeah.
It's wonderful. I'm definitely going to link to it in the show notes, because I'd love to encourage anybody who wants to find community and be inspired by beautiful photography to find you guys, because I love what you're doing. And I have to enter. The thing is, my feed currently is green-free, which is the only reason. There's no green. So that's why I didn't participate. But if you guys are doing orange, pink, or purple next season or next month,
you can
then I can participate. Viola, we're almost coming to an end, but I have two more questions for you. And the first one is, what are you excited about? What are you looking forward to? What are your dreams, hopes, ambitions for 2020 beyond the COVID situation? I'd love to know.
Usually when talking about dreams, I'm always the one talking about work. But I was thinking maybe I don't talk about the work now. And now I'm actually really excited about summer and my garden, and see how it grows and produces amazing organic ingredients. And especially after having a very cold and long Finnish winter, I love the gardening and spending time outdoors. And it really inspires to create a lot of new recipes. And I've also started to think about my next cookbook.
So exciting. Oh, wow. Because you kindly gifted me your last one, and it is absolutely stunning. So
thank you.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. Wow. Exciting. Right. I always end the podcast asking guests what their most favorite thing to eat, what their most favorite thing to capture, and what their most favorite thing to share is. And of course, I'm going to ask you too.
I really have to say cakes. Like,
oh my God, always, I'm so surprised.
Always cakes. Even though I love savory food, and I mostly cook savory in the kitchen. I do that a lot more than bake. But still, there's, when it comes to photographing and planning recipes, still there is something really magical in baking a cake, decorating it with the flowers and berries, maybe from my own garden, capturing it in a really beautiful and big table setting, creating that movie-like feeling. And
totally feeling
and
this.
And then sharing it with my family, and also sharing the recipe with the world. So I think I have to say cakes.
Amazing. What is your most favorite thing to capture?
I think cakes. Still cakes.
Fantastic. Why not? You know, I had Julian, who's a cake baker. He's Historias del Ciervo on Instagram. And his answer to all the questions was cake as well. So don't worry. What is your most favorite thing to share?
I haven't think about anything what I could share right here, right now, but now, right now, I'm really inspired by the nature, and I think we all should go outdoors to enjoy the nature and find inspiration from the outdoors and nature. And if you have forests or fields or anything near you, try to find something inspiring there to shoot next time when you're photographing, or yeah, try to find inspiration. Nature. That's what I would like to share.
Amazing. Fantastic, Viola. Thank you so much. This is probably going to air the month that you and I were supposed to do a workshop together. So I'm so sad I don't get to spend it with you. but I hope that we get to reschedule it for 2021 and explore your cottage and your garden and all the beautiful things. So here's for next year, huh?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for agreeing to be on the Eat, Capture, Share podcast. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
How cool is Viola for listening to her heart and following her creative calling with such courage and conviction and making a success of it? Like, that is the ultimate thing, and she's doing it and she's living proof that it's possible. If you'd like to check Viola out on Instagram, go to her website, connect with her through her social channels, be sure to head to the show notes where I have linked to all of her channels, including her independent publishing company that she set up. Also, any other people, websites, things that we mention in today's podcast episode will be linked in the show notes as well. Remember, I have that cheat sheet with the 6 Instagram tools waiting for you at the end of the show notes on the website. So once you sign up to the mailing list, you'll be sent that straight into your inbox. And I think that is it. I will be back same time, same place next week with a little bit of news, a little bit of an update, a little bit of a new thing I'm doing. So I cannot wait to connect with you then. Before I leave you, I wanted to say thank you so, so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoy the podcast. I also wanted to let you know that this podcast was brought to you by my free creative community, the Eat, Capture, Share Creative Community on Facebook, formerly known as the Food Photo Insta Creative Community, and I'd love for you to join. I will pop the details on how you can join my creative community in the show notes, so do go and check it out. Also, if you enjoy the podcast, it means so much if you can rate, review, and subscribe. All those things will help the podcast to grow and to reach the right audience. And yeah, you'd kind of make my day. All right, see you soon. Take care. Bye.